Morning, everyone. I too wish to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Appreciated the morning's devotions and the Sunday school lesson. They're things that are very relevant to our lives today and things we deal with. You may turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. I'd like to read several verses here for an introduction and a bit of backdrop to the message I have this morning. Psalm 119, I'd like to begin reading in verse 89 and read through verse 104. And as we read this, there's one verse in here I want to come back to. Then most of these verses I'm not coming back to, not planning to come back to. But as we read this, I'd like you to think about the value the psalmist is placing on God's law, God's word, and what he's saying about it. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The psalmist loved the law of God. He knew it was God's eternal law. It was not going to change. He knew it was the law that gave him life. Without God's law, there is no life. He found his salvation through God's law. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. Seeking God's law brought him salvation. It was his first love in verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. It was his first love. It was what was at the forefront of his thoughts. It was something pleasurable for him. 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. It was like honey to him. Verse 96, I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. The message title this morning is The Broad Commandment. Thinking about the Word of God, the breadth of it, and how it impacts our lives. I don't know what you think of when you read that verse. I suppose there's more than one interpretation to that. I have seen an end of all perfection. I think of that as referring to us as humans and our limited perfection or our inability to attain perfection. But thy commandment is exceeding broad, I believe refers to God and the commandment, his law, his working with men. God's perfect law for man. So we have a comparison here. We have God in heaven. We have man on the earth. We have something eternal and something that has an end. We have something perfect and we have something imperfect. You know, even the best of men, their perfection ended. You look at any Bible character. You can take David. We heard about him in Sunday school. You can take Moses, you can take Abraham. You know, there were instances in their lives where they failed. Their perfection came to an end. We have something that is broad versus man's narrow viewpoint. When God creates a law, it's an all-encompassing law. It's kind of like the sky over your head. Everywhere you look, it's around you. But us humans tend to zoom in on one point and get distracted. I'd like to illustrate it this way. We have Adam and Eve. They were perfect there in the Garden of Eden. They had a very pleasurable time there with God. All was well. But God had made a commandment. He said, "Thou shalt not eat of it." You shall not eat of that tree. God's commandment was complete. It was perfect, and it was for the good of man. It was also final. And as long as Adam and Eve stayed within that commandment, there was perfection. They had the room they needed to function. There was happiness. There was joy. They were not restricted within that commandment until they saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the senses. And besides that, there was a promise of wisdom that went with it. And man ceased from his own perfection by failing to observe the breadth of God's commandment. And Adam and Eve's disobedience there brought a lifetime of regret and sorrow. You can fast forward to the New Testament. Maybe we should turn there. Matthew chapter 22. I'll just read those verses. Very familiar to us, but I'll read them again. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Jesus summarized the commandments of God into two main points: love for God and love for man. And we make it our object to obey that. It's very important to us as God's people, but I don't think it's just me that finds it easy to deviate from that. Sure, we love everyone, or at least we say we do, we think we do. But in James chapter 2, he refers to respect of persons, and he says, even though you keep the whole law, if you have respect to persons, you're deviating from God's commandment. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You know, God's commandment is broad. Love all men in every area, in every aspect, in every way you need to relate to him. But you know, how often do we look for a loophole or an exception to that commandment? We meet difficult people. Perhaps there's a personality clash. Perhaps there's an offense, and it brings an end to our perfection. We could go to Acts chapter 5, but I don't think we'll turn there. But there we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira. I assume they were members of the New Testament church. Would appear that way to me. And I believe they had found their sense of perfection in that. And we don't even read of a direct commandment that they disobeyed. But the Bible tells us they conceived in their heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. They conceived in their heart to lie to God. And you know, the commandment of God reached beyond what men could see. It reached right into the very heart of man, where it uncovers the thoughts and intents of the heart. And their perfection ended. In fact, their life ended there. God brought swift judgment upon them because of their disobedience. God's law was perfect. It encompassed the whole, and when Ananias and Sapphira stepped outside of that, it cost them their lives. God is not mocked. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, "For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." We know what it's like. People come, people go. They get sick, they fall away, but the word of our Lord endures forever. God wants our approach and our response to his word to be the kind of response that leads us to everlasting life. And I bring this message to myself because I know I need to realize the extent to which God's commandment needs to influence my life. Some of God's laws are stated, some of them are unstated. But they all need to encompass my life. They need to encompass every area of my life. You know, the authority that's over us, whether it's a government authority, whether it's a church authority, a parental authority, no matter what it is, they cannot make or enforce enough laws to make you a good man or woman. But God can. So we follow God's commandment, it can make us righteous. His law reaches into your heart and into my heart and impacts every thought and every action of our lives. The word broad, thy commandment is exceeding broad. If you look that up in Strong's, it has the thought of being roomy. There's a lot of room there. You know, there's something in us that tends to think the way of God is restrictive. But there's also something that as we experience the way of God, as we follow in his law, we experience the room that's there. There is room for joys and pleasures. There is room for all the good things of God. You think of Adam and Eve there in the garden again. As long as they stayed within that sphere that God had created for them, they had room. As soon as they stepped outside of that, they became very uncomfortable. God's commandment is not restrictive. Proverbs 19:23, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." I have 5 points this morning referring to the broad commandment, and then I have 5 more on ways God teaches us that broad commandment, how he brings it to us, or how he makes it known to us. Number one, the broad commandment is a holy commandment. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. God is a holy God. He is absolutely holy. And that's something our human minds can hardly, or at least mine can hardly wrap itself around that thought. Completely pure and sinless, separated from anything defiling. In contrast, man by nature is defiled. He is sinful. He finds it difficult to, or I think sometimes we find it difficult to comprehend the holiness of God the way we should, and then we don't stand in awe of it the way we should. But God is a holy God. And because he is holy, and because he is our God, he has every right to require holiness of us. That's what God was giving the Israelites, all these laws, and he said, "Now you need to listen to me because I'm a holy God." It's the basis on which he gave them all those laws. He gave them as an aid in helping the children of Israel separate themselves from the sin and wickedness around them, and that is still what he does today. God's commandment is a holy commandment with the intent to produce a holy people. Verse 45 there it says, "For I am the Lord your God that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt." It's still God's desire to bring us up out of the land of Egypt or the land of sin. And he still wants to be our God. First Peter 1:5, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." He doesn't say in some part of your life. He says in all manner of conversation. Obedience to the holy commandment is imperative for our life today. And we need to maintain a proper concept of our holy God if we're going to be able to live up to his holy commandment. The broad commandment is a holy commandment. Number two, it's a revealed commandment. You know, God doesn't establish a law and then not tell us what it is. But he reveals his commandment to us. The broad commandment is a revealed commandment. Isaiah chapter 30, several verses there. Verse 19, "For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear thee, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." God is very gracious to instruct us. He doesn't leave us hanging. He doesn't leave us on our own to find the path he has for us. But he gives us the teachers that we need so that we know how to apply his commandments to our lives in the day that we live in. You know, times change, but God's commandment doesn't change, and I believe he gives us what we need to be able to apply his commandments to our day. And right along with the thought of revealing his commandment to us, I believe he also empowers us. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You know, we are without excuse. We in our humanity struggle sometimes to know how to apply the scripture to our lives. But as we seek the face of the Lord in prayer, as we read his word, he gives us the answers we need. Sometimes we face a situation that we're unsure about, but we're not quite comfortable with, and if you're like me, you're like, I just wish I had a word from the Lord that would tell me exactly what to do. Well, we probably have it. Maybe we're not listening for it, or maybe we don't want to hear it. But I believe God reveals his commandments to us. And we don't want to make excuses for not listening to his revelation. Number three, the broad commandment is a commandment of righteousness. God's commandment is righteous. It is right. And it also produces righteousness in his followers. There is nothing wrong about the law of God, and it does not produce anything wrong in the lives of its followers. It is a perfectly right commandment. Acts chapter 4, we have the story of the apostles preaching, and the Jewish leaders getting frustrated with them and bringing them and imprisoning them. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." There was something about these men that were following Jesus that could not be spoken against. And I believe it's because of the righteousness of Jesus that was evident in their lives. It was coming out. And these people could not speak against it. It was obvious to them that these men had been with Jesus. God's law was a righteous law, and it was producing a right thing coming out of their lives, and they couldn't deny it. Number four, the broad commandment is a commandment of truth. It is totally reliable. The scriptures refer to God as a God that cannot lie. There is no element of God's commandment that is not totally truthful. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You're not going to come to the realization one day that God lied to you. You're not going to be examining the detail of some commandment and discover that, yeah, there was a little clause in there that changed the picture or put it in God's favor. As long as we follow God's commandment, we will not be deceived. We will not discover a blemish in it. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. When I think of somebody's eyes being enlightened, I think of they grasped the concept and they understood, and it completed the circuit. That's what God's commandment does. And there's not that one dark spot back there that we know something isn't quite right. No, God's commandment is pure, it's true. And the beautiful thing is that as we think about God and his judgment and us facing God and his judgment, we can be confident that he will judge us by the same standard of truth that he guides us by while we're here on this earth. And we can approach him in confidence because of that. It is a commandment of truth. Number five, it is a commandment of life. Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. The broad commandment is a commandment of life. Think about Adam and Eve again there when they failed God and they were put out of the garden. Don't you think it felt a little to them like they got pushed into a horrible pit, into the miry clay? We know what that's like as sinners. There's something there that's very uncomfortable, very. Well, we can't help ourselves, but God takes us out of that. When our perfection ceases and we find ourselves in that miry clay, God is there to lift us up, to put our feet back on a firm place. The broad commandment is a solid foundation. It sets our feet on a firm rock. And not only does it set our feet on a firm rock, it gives us a firm path to move forward in. God's commandment gives us a path that we can walk on in confidence. Thinking about it being a commandment to life, it also leads us to eternal life. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So we have life while we're here on this earth, we also have an eternal life to look forward to. And unlike many of the people around us who are stumbling in sin and darkness, we are privileged this morning to have this commandment before us, to know the God who commands us in the ways of right and truth, the God who gives us life, the God who gives us a sure foundation. Now, how does God reveal this commandment to us? Well, I think there's probably many ways he does that. I have five here, and I'm sure none of them are anything new to you. But God teaches us his commandments. He establishes a commandment, but then he helps us understand how to follow that commandment. Now, this is a broad commandment. It encompasses all of your life. It affects every aspect of your life. And there's no way we by ourselves can keep on top of it or figure it all out. We need God's help, and he gives us these teachers to help us. Remember those verses in Isaiah where he talked about the word behind you? Go to the right or go to the left or keep straight on. Number one is Jesus Christ is God's teacher to help us understand his commandments. Turn to Gospel of John chapter 1. Where he introduces Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So here we have the thought of one who is the giver of life and also of light. The light coming to men and lighting them. The light that overpowered the darkness that was around them. Skip down to verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. A true commandment needs a true light to enlighten it. And we have that here. Lighting every man. Available to every man. God does not hide his commandments to some men. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Drop down to verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him. And that's the whole reason Jesus came to this earth, was to declare God to us, to reveal the Father to us, and to give us the grace that we need to meet the expectations of the commandment. Don't try it without Jesus, but with Jesus we can meet the expectations of God's commandment. Number two is the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, I'll just read that. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. We have the Spirit of God that he gives to us to help us understand. It searches the deep things of God and reveals them to us. Now, I think it's amazing how God not only gave us a commandment to follow, but he gave us the living instruction manual right into our hearts to help us understand how to follow it, to empower us and to help us be obedient to it. We have the option of rejecting the Spirit. That's a personal choice we make. But God makes his Spirit available to us to guide us and to help us understand, to empower our obedience. Number three, God gives us the written word. We have the Bible today. We could turn back to Psalm 119. There's verses there. Again, very familiar verses that refer to the light God gives us. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And then verse 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." You know, sometimes we feel pretty simple about things and we're not quite sure how to interpret them, but God gives us his word to help us understand. It lights the path he has for us. It is a light on our path, and I also think the parameters of that light are within the confines of God's commandment. The light God gives will never guide us outside his commandment. In 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So when your friends tell you something, do you believe them? Even if it's something that's perhaps on a not even totally based on truth, perhaps it's a theory, but we listen to it, we believe it. Here he says, you didn't listen to it as the word of men. You listened to it as the word of God. It is the truth of God. God gives us his word and it is true. It is effective in its work. We can listen to it. It's a guaranteed correct in guiding us in the commandments of God. Number four, we have the influence and examples of others. Paul told Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." It's easy for me sometimes as a proud human being to discredit my brother or sister's example. You know, it's not necessary, or it's perhaps what they do is not my style, or it's out of date. But think about it. Think about the church, all your brothers and sisters, and what that does for you in shaping your concept of God's commandment and how it applies to our life. I believe that's one reason God gives us the church. God gives us brothers and sisters to help us in these things. You know, we can't possibly think of everything ourselves. We can't possibly figure it out ourselves. But as we follow the example of those gone before, as we follow the example of those around us, it's an aid in us understanding the commandment of God. And finally, number five is our conscience. You know, God gives us that beautiful built-in moral compass to guide us. You do what's right, you're happy. You do what's wrong, you feel guilty. It helps us to know. You know, I referred earlier to what, if we're unsure on something, we just wish we knew. Well, it's probably your conscience talking to you, and yes, you do know. God gives us our conscience, and that the conscience that God gives us always aligns with his commandment. As we follow our conscience, as we open ourselves to God, as we heed his voice, as we read his word, as we commune with God, that trains our conscience in a way that will always align itself with the commandment of God. And then we can have confidence listening to our conscience in guiding us in the commandment. I'm going to pull that verse from memory. I can't quite do that. "I've seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad." Measured beside God's standard, we as humans are imperfect and we cannot attain. But today, you and I have the opportunity to embrace the power of God and to be able to meet the grade of the exceeding broad commandment. You may kneel for prayer.